Perhaps we could open the meeting with hymn number 9. Hymn number 9. Father, we thy children bless thee for thy love on us bestowed. Source of blessing, we confess thee, now our Father and our God. Wondrous was thy love in giving Jesus for our sins to die. Wondrous was his grace in leaving for our sakes the heavens on high. Number 9. Father, we thy children bless thee. To speak this afternoon with the Lord's help on the subject of blessing. Yesterday we had before us about that gap between the truth that is known and the truth that is practiced in our lives. And we, most of us, would have to admit, yes, our intelligence is far ahead of our feet in the things of God. And this can cause its problems. because we do not walk in all the good of what the Lord has made known to us. Brethren, we are a very favored people here to have, as it were, spoon-fed to us from our youth up, many of us, the truths of the New Testament, more so than any other group of Christians, I sincerely believe. There may be some new ones here, too, and there's something special about that, too. That first love that's so ardent when you get saved. And usually those first days and weeks and months as a believer, that love alone is enough to lead us on and keep us in the path. But as time grows old, like the Lord warned the church of Ephesus, that he had one thing against them, and that was that they had left their first love. They were continuing outwardly with all the right things. It's so easy to do that as a Christian. I'm not sure because it's of our pride that we like to show the best front always. Many reasons, perhaps. But occupation with Christ was also presented to us yesterday, that object. And how that we need something outside of ourselves to look to. And the Lord has indeed given us that. He's given us a perfect example of the Christian path. The Lord Jesus came here and lived as a man, subjected to all the things that we're subjected to, and he proved that it can be done, and he left us an example, and that example took him up into glory, and that's what we're waiting for too. In the meanwhile, how do we put our Christianity into practice? The blessings that God has given us, how do we rightly enjoy them? When I first thought about this subject, I thought about giving it a title, Blessings, How to Get Them. But then that didn't sound right. Brethren, we have them. They're ours. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I believe in this verse we have a real secret. Blessings. You have it spoken of. All blessings. How can God take a people here and all their failures and bless them as Jesus Christ has done for us? No limitations. No qualifications. No, if you go back to the Old Testament, it's interesting to trace the blessings that the Lord gave to different ones. You don't have to get very far in the Bible to find out the Lord blessing, the very first chapter of the Bible. But it's interesting that it wasn't until the 5th, 6th, and 7th days of the creation of the world that blessing is mentioned. And it's those days that he created the living creatures. And on the 6th day, it was man, and it included man. When he divided the light from darkness, when he set the order upon the face of the earth, it doesn't say blessed. But when it came to the creatures who were capable of having a relationship with their God, and even the animals are included, though not, of course, to the extent that you and I, as humans, who are brought into a much nearer and closer relationship made in the image and likeness of God, we have the capability of knowing God, having a relationship with our Creator. And God made us for that purpose, to have relationship with Him. Sometimes we hear a prayer like this: Lord, bless me, my family, my brother and his family, my father and mother, and my dog too. Now, what's wrong with that prayer? Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Well, leave the dog off. Have you prayed that prayer without including the dog? You know, God is interested in the animals too. There's nothing wrong with praying for the animals. The very last verse of the book of Job, anybody remember what it says? Much cattle. God is interested in the livestock, in everything he created, and he's especially interested in you and me, and in blessing us. And he has blessed us. First of all, in the creation. What a wonderful creation he made. It's partly ruined by sin now, and we don't see the total beauty of it because of sin and its degradation and death that brings its ruin in. But still, it was wonderful, the creation. New creation, even more so. God wants to bless. That little prayer falls short. It's a dead-end street. It's a one-way avenue, blessing coming down. Is that what God created us for? To go out and just bless us and bless us and bless us and never anything in return? This is a great secret to discover. You know, Solomon, let's look at the case of Solomon. God gave him riches. He gave him everything you could possibly think of. And Solomon set his heart on to find the good of it. And I dare say he did a good job of it. Anybody has as many wives as he had certainly tried out a lot. And all the other things of wealth and of wisdom and of pleasure. And what does he say about it? After he tried it all, Yes, he had a narrow mind when he was examining it. It says everything under the sun. He forgot. Maybe he didn't forget, but he did not occupy himself with going back to the source and giving a word of thanks like the one leper who, after he had been healed, returned to give God the praise. God blessed those 10, but only one satisfied the craving of that blesser by going back and giving praise. Now, this is a secret to blessing that we have here in this verse. But we're still talking about Solomon. Solomon got involved with all the blessings. But occupation with the blessing alone will not bring happiness and joy. Young people, we're living in a world that is taken up with earthly blessings, if you please. And there are many pleasures and good things without having to go over on the dirty side of the broad road. There are many wholesome things that can take up your time of the things of this world that God created. And if you set your heart on those things, but leave the Lord Jesus and your Heavenly Father out, you will find a lack of happiness in your life. Happiness and blessing are often synonymous in the Bible. Solomon was occupied with the blessings without going back beyond the sun and seeing and giving God praise for those things. And so I believe he is an example for us of one who was occupied with the blessing itself, without identifying it with the blesser. Our verse in Ephesians is a secret here. Let's read it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I'd like to ask a question. Who is the Apostle Paul speaking to here when he says this? Just think about this a little bit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now I see two answers. I see the Ephesians, the saints that he was writing to, as the ones he was speaking to. But I also see him speaking to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ at the same time. This is a great secret. When Paul would speak to the Ephesians, and he would speak to us, because it's recorded for us too, at the same time, as he is communicating to the Ephesians, he's blessing God. It was real with him. He wasn't only occupied with the blessings. He was giving praise to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave the blessing. This is a secret, young people. Not just the blessing. The joy, the happiness, the blessing is not just in the thing itself. The blessing is in the thing as it is connected with its source. Our Father, our Creator God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who brought it in a way that we could receive it. I believe this is the longest sentence in the Bible. I would like it if sometime someone would check that out for me to prove it for sure. I counted 269 words in this sentence. Now, in our King James Version, there are two periods in there, but in Mr. Darby's, and I've checked it in the original, in the Greek, and it doesn't show that it has those periods in there. This is what the English teacher would call a run-on sentence. And I find this so wonderful that when God would speak about his blessings, he needs a run-on sentence and a long sentence to communicate it. It goes from verse 3 to the end of verse 14. We're not going to read the whole sentence. But there is a period in our King James Version after 6 and 12. But in other translations, that is more like a colon. And the connection flows all the way through. Our God is a God of blessing. And the blessing that he has for us is large. And he wants us to enjoy it with himself. And that's what makes it so wonderful. And this, we find this all through the Bible. We had a little bit about the prodigal son, and we had about the lost sheep this morning. And in that chapter, you have it told out. That son that received from his father the goods that pertained to him. The biggest problem with the son was not asking for the goods. The father willingly gave out the goods. But the biggest problem was the way he wanted to enjoy it. He wanted to enjoy it absent from the giver. He wanted to enjoy it where he could enjoy it on his terms with his people the way he wanted to. And he found out it was a mistake. Young people, if you want to be happy, God has the best plan for your life. And don't try to live it. And don't try to take those blessings that he would give you and then run off and enjoy them by yourself. And you don't have to necessarily leave home or leave meeting or leave the Lord's people to try to do that. Many of us are guilty of doing it right while we sit in our chairs. And we have certain reservations where we say no to the Lord. Recently, I've been enjoying the company of a young man who lived many years the way he pleased to live. And the Lord turned him around. And I'm amazed that now, every free moment, his Bible is open. And he's reading his Bible. It's a joy. It's a blessing to me to see it. It's a motive for me to get my Bible open too. He's getting it back from the source. Another prodigal that learned a hard way. And there's a lot of baggage to carry. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing these words, he couldn't help but just write a exhortation. Now, you Ephesians, I want you to be occupied with your heavenly blessings. That's not the way he communicated it to him. No, his soul was reveling in the blessing itself. He was walking in a path in accordance with what he knew. There was not that gap between what he knew and what he practiced. And it comes out in his speech, in how he communicates the blessing. The end of the chapter is a prayer too, where it is, yes, directly speaking and giving thanks to the God and Father. And he prays that their eyes would be open. Well, I would like to go back now and look at an example, maybe more than one, but an example of those who sought the blessing. Let's look at Jacob. Is a good example for us. Back in Genesis chapter 27. I believe most all of us here have that desire for the Lord's blessing. And I believe it's sincere. And I believe it was sincere with Jacob, his desire for blessing. But he made a lot of mistakes along the way. And if we could go back in history a little bit, we'll remember that God, first of all, chose Abraham and blessed him. And he gave him a promise that he would bless him and his seed. And not only would he bless him, but he would bless those that blessed them, but he would curse those that cursed them. Now, that's a pretty big blanket policy. You can't improve on that kind of a policy. Unconditional blessing. Some blessings are conditional, but those were unconditional. How can God give an unconditional blessing? Well, I'll tell you what it cost him to do that. It cost him to have to give his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the blessings would be fulfilled. And that's the basis upon which God will fulfill all blessing. And that's the basis upon which you and I can receive blessing right now, unconditionally, all blessings. In the Old Testament, the blessings were earthly. What we read in Ephesians, it's heavenly. We have a higher sphere of blessing. The Lord Jesus, as a risen man, entered into the glory, and he promises to take us there. That's our sphere of blessing. And that's where he's going to make us a testimony for all eternity of his love and grace. And even now, it's his desire that we be a witness of those who receive that blessing. Well, Jacob, then, his was an earthly blessing, and he looked for it. Abraham had received it when he was a long ways away from the land. And then Isaac comes along, and he receives the blessing. And then we're going to start where Isaac then wants to bless his children. Now let's read a little bit from Genesis chapter 27. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, He called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the home, and put them upon Jacob, her youngest son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared unto the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father. And he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother Esau's hands, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him, and he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over my brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Curse be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, And Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be as the fatness of the earth, and as the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The day of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother." And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise and flee thou to Laban, my brother in Haran." Well, I went ahead and read all of this because I find it most interesting. We're not going to be able to comment on very much of it. We have two boys here, the two sons of Isaac. And the blessing is involved. Both of them wish blessing. Neither of them understand the true path of blessing. But I think there's something to learn from these boys, these two. Jacob, the supplanter, the one who had previously spoken to his brother to sell his birthright, now is proceeding to do a similar, even a more deceiving thing. Yes, he was helped by his mother. But I want to make a comment first about Isaac here. Now, Isaac, of course, did not know Ephesians 1:3. But he should have known what Abraham had been promised, that he and his seeds. There seems to be here a feebleness of apprehension of the blessing. That what we were talking about yesterday, that gap. Not walking in the truth leads to impoverishment, an understanding of the blessing. This has happened over and over in the history. When the children of Israel were brought into the land of Canaan later on, God promised to give the whole land to them, but they were poor in taking possession of it. There were enemies there that would seek to hinder their taking that possession of what was promised to them. And that's what the enemy of our souls would seek to do, would seek to put obstacles to hinder us from the enjoyment of our blessings. The enemy cannot take the blessings away, but he can take away from us the walk in them and the enjoyment of them. And that's where the attack comes in. Because of this, I believe, you have Isaac here in contemplation of his death. And he needs savory meat. How many of us, as we look around at the needs around us, we see souls needing blessing. We know we have blessing in our souls. We read our Bibles. We understand how to get saved. We know what to tell a sinner when he feels convicted of his sins. In theory, at least. But we miss the opportunities. Impoverishment. The blessing is not vividly enjoyed at the moment. And the opportunities slip. Isaac here looked at the benefactor to give him savory meat in order that his soul might bless his son. He had the cart before the horse. He had the order reversed. His soul should have been occupied with what had been promised through Abraham, and he would not have needed savory meat for his soul to feel like blessing his son. And so a course of events is started here. And a Jacob comes along, instigated by a mother where there had not been harmony in the home before. Each one had their favorite, and each one was seeking for the best blessing of the favorite son. Impoverishment of blessing. Brethren, we have all blessings. We have everything to give, both to God and to our fellow man. It's ours. There's a price to pay to walk in it and to keep enjoying it, yes. To have it down in your soul, and so that gap between truth known and truth practiced is there. The remedy is to return to the blesser, to return to the source, to get your soul filled up with the blessing, and you won't need the savory meat in order to bless. Because Jacob was a little better instigator, then he took advantage of the situation here. But really, did this get him the blessing? It tells us, yes, that he would be blessed. Oh, I don't believe this is This is the basis upon which Jacob was really blessed. Oh yes, the words were pronounced and they were fulfilled. But instead of hastening the blessing to Jacob, the very thing that happens is he has to run away. He has to become a fugitive. And so the separation between his father and mother and he begins, and he has to go off on a course, on a path. And God dealt with Jacob many years. And he continued that path. He wrestled with the angels. And he worked with his father-in-law to get the blessings all along the way, serving. God graciously allowed him to get certain things in spite of those things. But it didn't really make Jacob's life what God wanted it to be. How many Christians are that way? I'm going to tell a little story, a personal story in my life. How the Lord brought this vividly to my attention soon after I was married. As most of you may know, I am a farmer. And after I was married, a farm came up for sale in my community. And my brother and I ended up purchasing this farm. I'd just been married a year or two. And I was all enthused with making a livelihood by farming. I was very thankful for this purchase. It was a good buy. There are a few details to be worked out, including a tenant who lived on this farm in the house, who was going to disoccupy the house. And so we had to make certain arrangements about his leaving and our taking over the farm. And one day I went out to talk to the man. Mr. Gunyon was his name. And we got in a discussion about some fence posts. And I had looked into the laws of the state of Illinois, and property that was buried in the ground was considered a part of the real estate. And he said those fence posts belonged to him. Blessings, material things. We were not in agreement about those fence posts. And you may laugh about this, but it was real to me. As I was discussing the matter with the tenant, he keeled over dead in front of me. I did not know what to do. I went up to the house and knocked on the door, and there was nobody home. The Lord was dealing with my soul. Called an ambulance, had to find a telephone in the house. Called an ambulance, and one of my high school friends came out in the ambulance, took a look at him and said, "I'm afraid it's over with him." Took the man in. And then I had to tell the family that night what had happened. Now let me tell you, what do you think my attitude was about those fence posts? You think I wanted those fence posts? Blessings. That wasn't the way to get those fence posts. That's not the way to get blessing. And it's true in spiritual things too. Jacob. That was his way too. I'm thankful the Lord in a measure taught me in one day something. Hope I won't forget it. The things without the Creator, the Giver, without the Redeemer, they don't have the same value. Our Savior God wants our fellowship with those blessings. He wants our communion with those things. And He wants to hear a thank you now and then. He wants to hear a word of thanks, a word of praise, because everything that we have is only ours because of what the Lord Jesus has done. You read this, that first chapter of Ephesians, and it says over and over again, in Him, in the Beloved. And that's true of all heavenly blessings, and it could be said of earthly things too. The material necessities of life along the way, and God is interested in those things too, even though they are not the final end of what the Christian is promised. They are only temporal things along the way, just like those fence posts. Now our time is about up. I'm going to go on and mention briefly one other man whose name was King David. Let's turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 7. In this chapter, we have King David. He is a remarkable case of a man who had that right relationship with his God. And he wanted to give God praise and thanks. And he worked at bringing that ark up. And he carried Israel to a high point in their life, in their history of worship to God, way beyond what Moses and the priesthood was first instituted in the preparing of a temple. And David laid up in store, and it was his desire to build a house for the Lord. And he wanted to build a house for the Lord. And the Lord told him, no, I want to build a house for you. The beauty of the story is they end up both being the same house. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has built the house of temple, the place of worship, the place of giving praise and worship to God, the place where God and man, the blesser and the blessed, could meet together. And the Lord Jesus Christ, David's son, is the one who's built that house. Now we are a part of that house today. Now we're getting out onto a lot of tangents here, but it's a wonderful thing to see that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the table He has given us where we can approach to God and worship, where this morning we could answer to His request, this do in remembrance of me. I believe is the highest thing that a Christian can do to return and give God thanks for his blessing. In fellowship with Jesus Christ, the center. David prayed about this. And God told him that instead of David building a house for the Lord would build a house for him. Two people with the same idea. And they get together. And God works with him. And David submits to that. And I'm just going to read the latter part of the chapter here, a few verses. And in verse 25, notice David's language after God told him through the prophet that the Lord would build him a house instead of he building the house. Verse 25 says, And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true. And thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Well, it was partially fulfilled in Solomon, but the real fulfillment was when Jesus Christ came. And the house has been built. And we, as the Lord's people, brought into the house, a spiritual house, to offer praise to God. So the blessing has a full circuit. The blesser and the blessed together, appreciating the same common thing. And it's all focused in Jesus Christ, that Son of David, who is our Lord and Savior, who brought the blessing to us. Young people, it is easy to get taken up with what you can do for the Lord. And I'm not against doing things for the Lord. But we have to come to this. It has to be according to God's way of blessing. David had a plan, but God stopped him and changed it. And David accepted that plan. And therefore, it had a blessed end and a fulfill. It's so important that as we set out in life, young people, that we remember God has that plan. Be sure you're following his plans. Don't make up your own life. Don't live like Jacob and try to do it your way. Incidentally, the end of the story of Jacob is good. And with this we'll close. I just will read you the verse. He blessed Pharaoh, and it's in chapter 49. I think this is so lovely that the end of his life he did. I'm reading Genesis 49, verse 26. The blessings of thy father, that's Jacob, have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. Unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren, who is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Jacob, in spite of all his ways, in the end, he could say, because I believe he learned the lessons, and I believe he did appreciate the blessings that God had planned for his life, and he worshiped, leaning on his staff. And so he could say that the blessings that came to him were beyond his fathers, his progenitors. You know, yesterday our brother spoke about the generations, you know, one generation enjoying the truth, and then gradually things can degenerate until there's a departure. That need not be. Jacob did recover, and he got more blessing than even had been promised. There is hope for us young people. Even though there's been a departure, there's been a life lived for ourselves, there is a way back. And God can still bless us, even if we're like a Jacob. Let's close with prayer.